James 5, verses 1 to 6. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You've hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You've lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You've fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who is not opposing you.
Well, it's good to be back amongst you. Thanks so much for those who helped to put the pews back. Yesterday as well. It's great to sort of feel another step forwards in terms of getting back to where we long to be. Do keep that passage open in front of you, James chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. And let's ask for the Lord's help as we spend some time looking at these words together. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you've given us your word. That we might feed on you, as it were, today, that we might receive from you instruction as to how we ought to live. And Father, by your Spirit, would you open our eyes, would you move our hearts this morning as we look at and listen to your words. May we become more and more the people that you'd have us be. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just imagine if you were appearing on one of the many television shows, probably a quiz, where there's some prize money to be won at the end. Perhaps it's pointless or something like that, and you've made your way through the various rounds, and other people have fallen out, but you're still there, and you've got to the final question. If you answer this question correctly, you're going to win the money. And they always stop at this point and they remind the contestant of how much money there is to be won this week. And they ask them another question first. What will you do with the money? What would you do with the money? If you won £10 today, what would you do with that £10? If it was £100, what would you do with £100 today? £1,000. £10,000. £1,000,000. That's a different game show, I think. What would you do? And you hear different answers, don't you? People have thought beforehand. That's why they've gone on the program, because, well, there's that holiday. There's that extension. There's that opportunity. James spoke last week of making money. Luke took us through that passage really helpfully, didn't he? People who are planning to make money. And the Bible tells us money in and of itself isn't a bad thing. But as Christians, how we think of money, how we use money, well, that's important. And James, all the way through this letter, has been showing us that as Christians, we ought to be distinct. We ought to look different to the world in all kinds of ways. And that includes how we treat or how we think of money. Now, this particular passage, these few verses, I think are more pointed towards those who aren't trusting in Jesus. As we feel the tone and the warnings that come through. But as we listen to what James is saying to them, and maybe that is us, maybe some of us this morning aren't yet trusting in Jesus. But even if we are, we can hear some warnings here about perhaps the old sinful nature that's still lurking in our hearts. The aspects in which money has got a grip in ways that it shouldn't. James said a few weeks ago, didn't he, we all stumble in many ways. He said that when it came to the words that come out of our mouths. Well, that's surely just as true of the way our hearts think of money. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's a heart thing where the trouble lies. And James gets his torch out and he shines his torch into our hearts through this passage. And as he does so, we'll see four ways in which we can go astray. Four wrong heart attitudes to money. The first is this. We might have a greedy heart. A heart that says, I want more. Listen to the warning from verse 1, chapter 5. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. There's cash in the attic. The garage is full of stuff. The ISAs are at their maximum yearly allowance. And the summer sales are on. We want more. There's an advert on the telly at the moment. I can't remember what it's advertising, but it says the average number of times that we, I guess that's people in the UK, wear an item of clothing. The average number of times you wear an item of clothing. Do you know what the number is? 10. Shocking, isn't it? The average number of times. It shows, doesn't it, the wealth there is in this country, or the hoarding that there is. 10 times for an item of clothing. James is pointing here to the problem of hoarding, the problem of greed. And notice that the time scale or the time reference that he puts in. End of verse 3, you have hoarded wealth in the last days. In the time between Jesus' first coming and second coming. You know, we've got these reference points for life as Christians, haven't we? Life isn't just heading on as it's always done. Our life isn't just about our life now. No, we've got markers behind us in history, Jesus' first coming. Ahead of us, and today we're a day sooner, and it might be today, it might be tomorrow, but at some point Jesus will return. And that should give us a perspective on life. COVID's given us a perspective on life, hasn't it? Suddenly the fragileness of life has been felt by us. We've felt a little bit more flimsy, as we should. Last week we heard at the end of chapter 4 that, what are our lives? Well, they're like a mist. Remember that from last week as Luke took us to the countryside and spoke of the mist in the morning and it just vanishes. Life is short. But it's not just that life is short. There is this perspective, the time in which we live between Jesus' first coming and second coming, the last days. There are priorities we ought to have. There is a perspective that should shape us. And if we're simply hoarding, well, it suggests we've lost that perspective. So how should we use our riches then if we've got them? I found this really helpful quote from someone called Matthew Henry, who wrote a commentary on the whole Bible, every verse. He said this of these verses: God gives us our worldly possessions that we may honour him and do good with them. But if, instead of this, we sinfully hoard them up, through an undue affection towards them, we love things too much, or a distrust of the providence of God for the future, we think we need to put our security in the things we have. Well, this is a very heinous crime and will be witnessed against by the very rust and corruption of the treasure thus heaped together. Life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions, said Jesus. And we're going to be held accountable. Again, James has kept reminding us, hasn't he, of this through the letter. We're going to be held accountable. And here are some witnesses, he says, that will be called forward if we've hoarded things and they are moth-ridden or rust-ridden. They'll speak against how we've used them. So instead of hoarding things, how might we use our riches to bless others? In particular, with that perspective of the last days, Jesus' return and the desperate, urgent need of people to hear the good news of Jesus, might we give in ways that help further that need? You know, I often see here at CBC, as people are shaped by the gospel, so often people here do give in that direction. When there's a need, when something's announced, when something is shared to support someone in mission or a project somewhere, then so often you, others, do step forward and give. That's a sign of God's work in your hearts, stirring to meet these needs, being shaped by those perspectives. That's a sign of God's Spirit at work. But let's heed James's warning afresh this morning as he points his torch into our hearts. Is there greed? We all stumble in many ways. Is there greed in our hearts? Is there hoarding in our homes? Well, secondly, he warns us of corruption in our hearts, a corrupt heart, a heart that says, I'll cheat others. Look at verse 4. Look, he says, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. You know, a danger with money is that as we start to gain more and want more, well, then we might start to mistreat others so that we can hold on to more ourselves and deprive others of perhaps what's due to them. In the days that James wrote, the harvesters were paid daily. They do a day's work and they should be paid at the end of that day for that day's work. To withhold their pay would have immediate effect. Perhaps not able to have a meal that evening. So it was unjust to withhold the pay of the workers. But look who kicks up a fuss first. Look who speaks in verse 4. Look, says James, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out. The money itself is saying, hang on a minute, I shouldn't be in this pocket anymore. I should have gone and been taken home by that person over there. And the Bible often uses that kind of dramatic expression of inanimate objects, the ground, rocks, trees. Hear money crying out, speaking up, saying there's something wrong. And the cries of the harvesters themselves go up. And look who's listening. Look who's heard. Look how he's described. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. That's one of the strongest names for God in the Bible. That's the one that points to his power. He is the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven's armies. That's what it means. Now, when something is unjust, we might appeal to someone, mightn't we? The Court of Appeal. Small Claims Court. Perhaps we want to push further to a higher court. Perhaps before Brexit to the European Court. But here it's the Lord of Hosts. This is the highest court, as David led us to at the beginning of our service. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. You don't want to rouse him against you. And when we cheat others out of what is theirs, the Lord sees and the Lord knows. And it's serious. Now, if you run your own business, you know how serious this is. Those times when you've done some work and someone hasn't paid on time. The impact that might have on being able to pay the employees in the small business. If you're self-employed, you know the seriousness of this. You've done some work for someone and they haven't paid on time. The impact that's going to have on you in the next couple of weeks, on your family. How quickly do we pay those we owe? As Christians, are we shaped by this in a concern for others, not holding on to things ourselves, but being quick to pay up, to settle up? Does our wealth and comfort lead to laziness or corruption that will harm others? Do we need reminding of the Lord of Hosts, who is watching and listening and counting? Does James's torch reveal any corruption in our hearts? Well, thirdly, the third thing that can be going on in our hearts is that we might have a self-indulgent heart, a heart that says, I'll spoil myself. Now, it's the 1st of August today. Have you been pinched and punched this morning? The 1st of August, each year, there's a song that's played in our shops that seems to get earlier every year. I wonder if we'll hear it this month. The song that goes, I wish it could be Christmas every day. What do you think of that song? What do you normally do on Christmas Day? Do you have rituals in your home? Is there certain foods that you might be eating if it were Christmas Day? If it were Christmas Day every day, what would that be like? Eating that food every day. Having those treats every day. Do you wish it were Christmas Day every day? Well, that's what James points at next in our passage. Look at verse 5. You've lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You've fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. The day of slaughter is the festival day. For us, that might be Christmas Day, where you would kill the fattened calf or the turkey or the vegetarian burger. James is saying in verse 5, you've lived as if every day were Christmas Day. Spoiling yourself, treating yourself, self-indulging. Now we should enjoy God's good gifts. The Bible's clear on that. Earlier in James, we're told every good and perfect gift is from above. It's from God. But as we peer into our hearts, do we thank him? If there are good things that we enjoy, treats that we have, do we thank him? Or do we just think, well, we deserve them? It's been a hard week. I ought to have that. A hard day. I should treat myself. you've got a Bible in front of you, come with me to the book of Deuteronomy, just quickly, chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10. This is Moses speaking to God's people just before they enter the promised land. And he warns them. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your hearts will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. See the warning? When we become wealthy, it's very easy to forget God, to congratulate ourselves, to think that we've got ourselves to where we are, and leave God out of the picture. True of God's people back then, it's true of us today. How much through a week do we thank God and turn to give him thanks and praise, not just for food, for other luxuries that we might enjoy, things that we self-indulge in? And do we have opportunity, rather than putting the spotlight on ourselves of, I deserve this, there's a reward for me here, what opportunities are there to bless others? Who else might we treat or spoil or encourage with something? You know, we've felt that at times as a couple, as a family. Just occasions where someone's dropped something through the door or popped something round, and no particular reason. But often it's come at a moment where we just needed some encouragement, and it's really made a difference. Perhaps the Lord is prompting you or laying someone on your heart that you could just encourage. Do something for, drop something round, treat. That reveals then the opposite of a heart that's self-indulged, that's just looking to spoil themselves, instead looking to share and be a blessing to others. Lastly, fourthly, what else might be going on in our hearts? Well, there might be an exploiting heart, a heart that says, I will trample you. Look at verse 6, you have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. The story of King Ahab and Naboth, Naboth's vineyard in the Old Testament. King Ahab, who had so much already, and he just fancied this vineyard that belonged to a man called Naboth. And Jezebel, Ahab's wife, she encouraged King Ahab in, well, his coveting. They conspired against Naboth. And Naboth ended up dead, to get him out of the way, that they might get their hands on his vineyard. As our wealth, our status caused us to look down on others, have we turned other people from being people into objects that are just in our way? Perhaps that teacher who's not giving you value for money for your child, their results just aren't good enough. Perhaps that call centre worker who's just not being very helpful. That shop assistant. That traffic warden. That family member. Who just for a few moments becomes an object in your way. Than a person made in the image of God. Beware the corners of our hearts that look to exploit others. And we'll trample on them. Of course, we're becoming more aware, aren't we, of our responsibility globally. how we spend our money. Is it causing exploitation of people? The coffee that we drink, has it been sourced in a way that's responsible? The clothes that we wear, are they made by people who are paying their workers fairly? You know, our world is getting smaller, the information getting shared more freely. We can be more knowledgeable, can't we, about where our money goes? Is it helping exploitation? Or maybe we're the oppressed as we read these verses. Perhaps there's others who are mistreating us. Maybe we're the exploited and we've felt that. Maybe others have trampled on us. Remember, James is writing to persecuted Christians. We've prayed for people in other parts of the world, haven't we, this morning, who are being trampled on. Maybe you've felt that in your circumstances or situations. Well, James moves there next. He speaks to us in that way next. We'll look at that next week. But this week, what has the light of Scripture revealed in our hearts? Is money our God? Are we looking to money to save us? Are we not yet trusting in Jesus? Are we trusting in money? Well, the appeal from James is don't. Money can't save you. The things you have will one day be moth-eaten and corroded. And if we are trusting in Jesus, well, maybe we've seen areas in our hearts where there's still darkness, where money has got a grip that's unhealthy, where there's greed or corruption or self-indulgence or exploitation. Well, let's repent this morning. Let's come to Jesus and say sorry and ask for his help that we might store up instead treasure in heaven, where moth and vermin don't destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. For, says Jesus, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. As we fix our hearts on Jesus, as we look to him and remember that though he was rich, but for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. As we remember that through Jesus we have security and hope and a family and a future. Well, may we this week seek to serve our King who served us. And may that guide our hearts away from greed and corruption and self-indulgence and exploitation. Let's pray. Father, please help each of us in our own circumstances this morning to respond in the ways that you call us to, the things you've put your finger on this morning. If we're not yet trusting you today and we've put our hope in other things, Father, help us to see the worthlessness of those things and the true and real and secure and eternal hope we can have through Jesus. And if we're trusting in Jesus this morning, but we've seen something of our hearts that are still dark, something of our old sinful nature that still exists, Father, help us to change with your help, to be generous people, loving people, giving people, people who are ready and willing to bless others. And even this week, would you show us opportunities where we might do that? And in all these things, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, who came to serve us, who blessed us, who's given us so much. Father, may we be thankful people this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.